We're heading to Taranaki now, near Hawera, to meet a dairy farm testing out a few ideas for future farming. The property we're visiting is really two farms within a farm, and it's hoped the trials being done here will help dairy farmers make the changes necessary to lower emissions and help clean up waterways without sacrificing the bottom line.
Hi, I'm Debbie McCallum and I'm Operations Manager for Dairy Trust Taranaki, based just out of Hawera, opposite the Fonterra Whareroa plant.
And we're in a paddock full of calves in the shadow of that enormous plant, a reminder of the huge part dairy plays in New Zealand's economy. Dairy exports bring in around $19 billion a year, but at a cost. And here at the Gibson farm, a few things are being trialled to reduce the industry's footprint.
This is a crop of Friesian calves that was born this year, and they include a bunch of sex semen calves. And part of the trial that we're doing, the future trial, is looking at reducing the number of bobby calves. And so in our future herd, for the first 3 weeks, we use sex semen across the top 60% of the herd.
An estimated 1.9 million bobby calves are killed annually in New Zealand. These calves are the product of an artificial breeding program using semen that's been sorted to produce female offspring.
We had a great result and we've ended up with 38% replacements for that future herd with minimal bobbies, which is really cool. And Sarah, who's just walking up to us, and she's been responsible for rearing the calves and she's doing a great job. And she's also had to rear some Wagyu calves because part of the future farmlet was introducing some new beef options. And so Sarah reared about 40 Wagyu calves, was it Sarah? Yeah. And they went over to the Hawke's Bay last week, so she had to say goodbye to her lovely little friends that she'd put a lot of effort into.
When they came in on their first day, I had to record like how much they drank, how long it took them to like drink, and then how many tries it took to see like the difference in breeds of how they drink when they first come in.
Because we've got the Friesian, we've got the short gestation Hereford, and we've got the Wagyu here. And the cross, yeah. So the crosses come from the heifer calves, so they've had a Jersey bull over them. So it's just really determining whether there's a difference between breeds and how well they feed.
Oh, they're so cute. I didn't want them to leave.
The trials on the Gibson farm are a third of the way through. They're part of Dairy Trust Taranaki and Dairy NZ's Step Change program.
So we're looking forward to the year 2030 and I suppose what will dairy farming look like in 2030, and certainly a reduction in the bobby calf pool is part of that. Going all artificial breeding or AB is part of that as well, and having more selection over what animals you are breeding up.
Debbie, can you explain why the need for this system?
Yeah, so certainly the calf project is creating more value from young calves. I suppose it's just not a nice thing, and the public perception isn't good, putting these young animals on a truck when they're only 4 days old. So are there opportunities outside the bobby calf industry for these young animals? And I think every farmer probably finds it difficult to do that, but it's part of the process, really, of dairy farming. You can't hang on to them all, basically. It just wouldn't be practical. And so we're working with Livestock Improvement Corporation, and the sex semen is something that's relatively new, but LIC have certainly made some really good inroads in the last 4 or 5 years. Basically, the male semen gets nuked, gets wiped out, and so you end up with all female semen. So it is more expensive. It's probably double the price of the ordinary semen, but you do get the guaranteed female out of it. And another thing will be perhaps all of the beef breeds could be boys, so that could be something really exciting as well.
Very curious.
The Gibson farm's 300-odd cows are separated into two mobs, the red-tagged future herd and a current herd wearing yellow ear tags. The three-year study is into its second year.
Well, thanks, Sarah.
Better go and rescue your helmet.
Yeah, I'm going to feed my baby, she's like crying out too much. They haven't seen me. They don't start crying until they see me.
The other trials on Gibson focus on how to reduce dairying's environmental footprint. The studies compare farming under current systems with a future 2030 system, which would have fewer cows per hectare and less reliance on imported feed and nitrogen fertiliser. Milk production, cow condition, pasture growth and quality are all being measured and profits calculated.
I think we should go and get out of the wind, and there's a nice shed over there where we could stand and have some protection.
Good idea.
Gosh, we've got a great view there of the Fonterra.
Yes, we have.
And unfortunately, you can't see the mountain, but the mountain's normally on a nice day showing up, which is, you know, most days, of course. This land that we're on is owned by Fonterra, and we've got another farm just around the corner called the Kavanagh Farm, and that's also leased from Fonterra. So the land came into Fonterra's hands, I suppose, around the time that Fonterra was formed, and it was seen as being a really nice green belt around the Whareroa plant. And Dairy Trust Taranaki came into being 5 years ago, and part of us doing research is that it's got to be environmentally based research now. I suppose talking to industry people and farmers and Dairy NZ, one of the items that was really popular was about the whole environmental impact that's coming up, just where we're heading as far as having to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and where we need to be in the year 2030. As far as less total GHG emissions. So it's all about footprint down and then looking at what the impact on profitability is going to be.
Methane from livestock makes up nearly three quarters of New Zealand agriculture's greenhouse gas emissions. By 2030, that's going to have to reduce by 10% below 2017 levels if targets are to be met. And at Gibson, they're experimenting with having fewer cows.
So we've got two different stocking rates. The current farmlet is really based on what has happened in the past. So it's 3.1 Friesian cows per hectare and up to 190 kgs of nitrogen per hectare and up to 700 kgs of dry matter imported feed. So feed that's bought off the farm and is mainly fed in periods of feed shortages. So, for example, early spring or if we have a drought. The future farmlets, we've reduced the stocking rate down to 2.5 cows per hectare and we're only using 75 kgs of nitrogen per hectare. So we've had a big reduction in nitrogen fertiliser and we're only feeding imported feeds when we really have to.
The herds are kept apart. Their milk goes into separate vats and each mob has 55 hectares of pasture, divided into 1 hectare paddocks. The cows are regularly checked and condition scored and samples taken from the pasture and soil. On the way to check out one of the future farm paddocks, we pass the milking shed and meet some more of the Gibson Farm team.
I'm Justin Nico Robinson and I'm the Dairy Trust Farm Manager of the Gibson Farm.
So what differences are you finding, Justin, between the two herds?
So there's been actual good residual rates just with lower stocking rates and that. And then as you go on, as the season goes on, is actually good grass growth. So like the actual regrowth is actually coming back a lot better.
And what do you mean by residual rates?
So residual waste meaning what the cows have left behind.
And what about the cows themselves?
Actually, condition-wise, they're doing real good. At the moment.
Which ones, the future or the
future
current?
Mob. Actually, future both mob. Mobs are doing real well condition-wise, but the future's less cows are actually doing a little bit better. Just less competition. More relaxed too.
Truly?
They are. Oh, all these cows, I don't consider them as cows, they're pets. So, they're all my pets.
He's got 300 pets.
300 pets, that's a lot of pets.
So you would have seen the calves, you've got three babies, you've got new pets as well.
We had to ensure that cows had a similar age structure, similar breeding worth, similar production worth, similar live weight, condition score and calving date. So when we set up the trial, we had two equal herds, basically. The only difference was in cow numbers. The current herd was 169 cows, and The future herd was 139 cows, and then they kept separate all the way through. And we haven't, the farm is randomised as well, so for example, this paddock here, it's got a red tag, so that's part of the future farmlet. This paddock is a current farmlet paddock, and one next door where the cows are, that's the current herd, and then the next paddock will be a future herd. So the paddock's all over the show, just to make it really interesting and just to keep the farm staff on their toes.
And there's a random cow.
There's an escapee. Eat the silage, girls. Behave. So this is an example of the plantain. So this was a paddock that was ryegrass white clover. So in October last year, we undersowed with 8 kgs per hectare of plantain and 2 kgs per hectare of clover. And we just scratched the surface because it's quite a small seed. And this is the result. So originally we sort of wondered whether what impact it was going to have. But, you know, as you can see, it has established really, really well.
The trick is to keep milk yield and quality up in the future herd without constantly applying nitrogen fertiliser. So the team is experimenting with the pasture makeup. What are the advantages of plantain?
Plantain is a herb, and it's quite deep rooted. It's very palatable, and it dilutes the urine and can increase the uptake of nitrogen or nitrates from the soils, and reduces nitrification and therefore increases efficiency. So it's quite an exciting plant, and because of the less nitrogen fertiliser, we're trying to increase the clover component of the pasture and then also use the plantain and its natural attributes to just increase the efficiency of the nitrogen cycle, I suppose.
The study is also measuring the effect of all these changes on profitability.
So measuring all the inputs and the outputs, so we can look at, you know, what is the effect on the bottom line, because that's really important, obviously. If we do reduce inputs, you know, what's going to be the effect as far as farm income is concerned.
You've just done the first year of testing.
Yep.
What have you found so far?
Okay, so we had a field day back in May, and just a little summary. In the first season, we reduced N input by 91 kgs of nitrogen per hectare applied. And because of that, because we didn't put on as much artificial nitrogen, pasture growth was reduced by 1.4 tonne of dry matter per hectare. And we ran a lower stocking rate, and so milk production was reduced by 211 kgs of milk solids per hectare. That's the current farmlet versus the future farmlet. The effect was that operating profit was reduced by 14%, minus 14%. So, you know, that is quite a big impact. It was minus $657 per hectare. So that is really significant. But on the positive side, we, through the Overseer model, it showed that we reduced total greenhouse gas by 21%, and of that, methane was down 13%. And the N loss was reduced by 10 kgs of N per hectare, which is 22%. So we ticked all the environmental boxes, which is really good.
14% down.
Farmers aren't going to relish that, are they?
No, they're not. And so that's certainly one of our challenges, is to... And I suppose the step change program is all about footprint down, but profitability similar up. And so for farmers to really get excited by the project, I suppose, it's making sure that it's not too much of a hit to that bottom line. So yeah, we could argue last year was a bit of a setup year, and the next few years are going to be interesting just to see what happens, because we're going to be changing the composition of the pasture through the introduction of the plantain and more clover. And so both of those two species will only get, you would imagine, more prevalent. And so just the effect on that going forward is going to be really interesting. So our challenge is to try and get that per cow up, and so that profitability of that future herd is a lot better. Now, sure, we've had lower costs in the future herd because we're running a lower stocking rate and we've got less nitrogen fertiliser being applied. But I suppose because of the very good payout last year, it still didn't increase the bottom line or decrease the bottom line.
By tweaking things, Debbie says, profitability looks like being better this year.
Because we reduced stocking rate, we almost had too much feed in early spring, and so the quality of that feed wasn't that great, and the cows didn't milk as well. So we've calved 5 days earlier, we milked a little bit later, and so the quality of the feed has been really good this year, and consequently those cows have milked really, really well. So the future cows this year are at the moment around about 2.3 kgs of milk solids per cow per day, which from a low import system is really good.
What about workload, having fewer cows, lower stocking rate? How does that affect the farmer in the long run?
That would certainly have an impact. Going from 3.1 cows per hectare down to 2.5 as we did, less cows to milk, less time in the shed.
Debbie says farmers can always go along to the farm's field days to check out the changes for themselves.
Change is difficult, and we probably get into a bit of a comfortable pattern, but certainly with what's happening with the environmental impact, farmers are going to have to change. But it'll be a gradual change, and you know, let's hope it's all positive as far as all those changes are concerned. So better animal welfare, better environmental impact, and better human welfare as well, as far as not having to put in such big hours and being able to just relax a little bit.
Debbie McCallum on the Gibson Farm. You also heard from farm manager Justin Nico Robinson and Sarah Tullock in charge of the calf rearing. They're also doing tests on the soil, and there are several other farms in Taranaki with different soil types and rainfall taking part in the step change trial. The trial's funded by the Ministry for Primary Industries and sponsors, including agri-firms like Ravensdown.